Good morning.
My name is Noah Thompson. I am the student body president over at the Bethany Seminary just down the road. And this Sunday, we'll be hosting an open house. And I'd invite any young men who are considering joining the public ministry to come and join us. It's at 5:30. Our professor, Dr. Michael Smith, will be speaking on, is the public ministry correct for me? And while I don't have any real experience in the public ministry at this point in time, I'd like to speak about the experience I've had over the last 3 years for just a brief moment. It's been a great privilege for me to be able to spend my time studying God's Word day in and day out. And while it's been a great benefit to me, it's also been a great benefit for my family as well, to be able to bring home the message of Christ's forgiveness and study that on a daily basis. It's been a very great blessing to me. And so I'd like to encourage any young men who have the slightest inkling that perhaps they would like to join the public ministry to stop in and join us on a Sunday afternoon at 5:30. And while we always have the gentlemen there who we kind of know are coming, the pre-sem guys as they're known, there's also those who have just sort of briefly thought about joining the public ministry. I'd like to invite you to come as well, because God can make use of all of us in one way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel from this last Sunday, the Gospel for Sexagesima Sunday, Luke chapter 8. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, preachers of God's word, those to whom God has given the command to speak the gospel to the world, to their communities, these preachers want all the seed that is sown to produce a crop 100 times more than was initially sown. Preachers want to see that, to experience that joy of seeing faith take root in a good and noble heart and bear fruit, confessing Christ, living holy lives. That's what preachers want. And it is something that all believers in Jesus desire, regardless of their vocation. It's what moms and dads desire for their children. It is what young men and women desire for their friends. It is what we pray for all the time with the simple words we've been taught to speak to our Heavenly Father, "Thy kingdom come." But along with that sincere desire comes temptation. And this temptation is to try and do more than sow the seed, the word of God. The temptation is to try to manipulate the seed and soil so as to bring about the result we want to see. That temptation is there despite the fact that Jesus tells us this seed is going to fall on different types of soil, most of which will never bring a crop to fruition, the hardened pathway, the rock, the thorns. It is a sincere desire, as I said, to want to see that good crop. But sincerity is no absolute measure of faithfulness and trust in God's word. So where is the danger? The danger is when we think that human opinion, human insight, human plans will bring about the kingdom of God in ways that we can measure or that we can predict or that will fulfill our desire for seeing a good crop. In our Augsburg Confession, we confess that God gave the ministry, the gospel, and the sacraments to obtain faith in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, righteousness before God by God's grace alone. Through the word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit is given. But then we confess a profound mystery that should serve as a warning to any sorts of plans or predictions or projections we might be tempted to initiate so as to peer into the mysteries of God's work. The mystery we confess is this: the Holy Spirit creates faith in those who hear the gospel where and when he pleases. Sociological studies do not predict the working of the seed, God's word, in the hearts of sinners. Psychological profiles do not inform us of the likelihood of an individual being open to or receiving by faith the implanted word of God. Business projections, however well conceived and designed, do not provide adequate models for peering into the future of God's kingdom of grace here on earth. Dr. Hermann Sasse, one of the greatest of the confessional Lutherans of the 20th century, described these various attempts as seeking the Holy Spirit where he is not to be found. When the Word of God is no longer trusted to bring about the kingdom of God, then we will seek other methods. And these other methods do not bring about the kingdom of God, but only the kingdoms of our own imaginations. We are called to trust that God will work as he wills, as he desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God promises us in Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." That word of God is further described in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It's described as living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here we are in the realm of God's revelation, a revelation that does not give us everything we may want to know about God's kingdom, but which gives us everything we need to know, and then simply says, "Trust the Lord. Let your confidence be in the word that he gives." Some might then ask, well, what is the church to do? Do pastors just say a few words here and there and then sit back and do nothing? Where is the activity, the engagement with the world? Is this just some sort of Lutheran passivity? We might even think of the well-known Luther quotation that may tend to make some think passivity is what we're called to do. Luther said, take myself as an example. I opposed indulgences and all the papists, but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything. But Luther can never be accused of passivity when it came to the gospel. He applied himself diligently, faithfully, intensely to the teaching and preaching of God's word, of publishing, of spreading the truth of salvation that comes through the saving work of Christ alone as revealed in Scripture alone. But he did not coerce, manipulate, or prognosticate about how God had to achieve certain measurable results. That was left up to the work of the Holy Spirit, working through the word that is living, powerful, the power of God for salvation. We cannot change the soil into which the seed is thrown. The seed is cast indiscriminately everywhere we can. Where we fail to trust God and his powerful word, where we are tempted in times, especially when the signs of Christian faith seem so weak, to doubt and seek other ways, may our Lord graciously pardon our weak faith and help us to retain confidence in what he's given us to use and to do. That is the work of spreading the kingdom of God by preaching his word. Let our boldness be found in that word of the Lord, the sure promises, the powerful gospel, that salvation so freely won for us by our Savior Jesus Christ and still bountifully thrown on us all again and again. God bless you all with noble and good hearts, a faith that receives the word gladly and brings abundant fruit, holy lives, good works for the people in our lives. God grant such boldness that we stay steadfast in God's word alone. In Jesus' name, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the morning prayer, which you find on page 167. And let us join in praying this prayer together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I put in that alliteration for my...